Thank you, brother. Yeah, okay. I am on. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good, yeah? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Where am I? Well, praise God. We don't do church as usual. Amen. Here, right? Amen. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to stand in this pulpit. Wherever I go, in the correctional facility, family gatherings, to be able to stand instead of the Lord, to be able to give voice to the Word of God. Amen. It's always a privilege and an honor. And I thank God, you know, that He's able to use a vessel such as this, that God takes the foolish things, yeah, of the world to confound the wise. Amen. So thank God he's able to use us in that capacity. Doesn't matter where you come from. You know, if you had schooling or no schooling, as long as you have a hunger for God. Amen. And you're willing and obedient, God can use you. Yes. How many of you came hungry? Amen. How many of you came hungry for Jesus?
Yes.
You know, it's amazing because this whole service that we're in, we come to church as a corporate body. You know, we come to talk about Him. You know, the message is more important than the messenger. You know, doesn't matter who the messenger is, as long as you know what the message is being said. So my desire, my assignment when I was asked by Pastor Wayne to take this service, my desire is that if there's anything that I can inspire you through His word, that will bring change in your life, that would make you hungry for Jesus, that would be able to change you and say, you know what? I'm going to be sold out for God. Yes. Whatever that is said through this message, that would encourage you and edify you in such a capacity to be able to say, you know what? That's it. I'm all in.
Amen.
I've completed my assignment.
Amen.
The salvation, the deliverance, the healings, they're all the icing on the cake.
That's right.
But if there is something that is said, one word from God that is said tonight that will change your life for the long haul where God is taking you, I've completed my assignment.
Amen.
I do that in a prison. You know, we don't bring our opinions or what we think. We declare the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord. It's always an honor, Lord, to boast in you. Father, your word says, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, we are the children of God, the sons of God, the offsprings of God, manifesting the glory and the demonstration of your power here on this earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can literally touch heaven and change earth to the power of the anointing that dwells and resides in each and every one as your sons and daughters. We thank you for it, Father. And as the Apostle Paul declared, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, everyone that believes.
Amen.
So everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Turn to your Bible, Psalms 11, verse 3. You know, there's a lot going on in my heart right now. And sometimes I got to say, God, just keep me on track, man. Just keep me on track. But I was thinking about the prophecy that was given to this church, to this body of Christ, about the breaking loose. And when I heard that breaking loose, what I saw for myself was that it was a time for me and a time for each and every one of us to break loose, meaning to come out of yourselves, these limits that we've placed upon ourselves, whether it's mindsets that we have limited ourselves to what the Word of God is saying that we can do and can become, that these self-imposed limitations, whether it's a religious mindset, whether it's a man-made mindset that we have set upon ourselves, the do's and the don'ts, that it's time to break loose. Yes. And to come out of that, yes, in that freedom of liberty, yes, to become all and be who God has called you to be. Amen. It's time to break loose. No more being shamed about who you are, yes, as a believer. Amen. None of that. If you wanted to run around here and say, praise the Lord, go for it. Amen. But you know, God does all things in order, right, and in decency. Yes. You know, if you wanted to dance before the Lord, there would be a freedom to do it without thinking about what the other person might think. Right. Who cares? Right. This is your relationship with God. Amen. If God tells you to run, run. God tells you to dance, dance. Yes. If God tells you to shout, shout. That's right. Right? If God has a word to say, speak it. And declare it. Amen. Get out of that box that we've self-imposed and limited ourselves to become all that God wants us to be. It's time to break loose. That's not my word, but it could be. But in Psalms 11, verse 3, the Word of God declares, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? A few months back, I had received an email from this husband and wife who has a ministry, and they're strong advocates for advocating the importance of the study of the Word of God and the memorization of God's Word. They do it all over the world. And I've been subscribed to them for 2 years as a devotional. And reading the devotions that they email every day encouraged me, it strengthens me. I've been doing that for 2 years now. But about a year ago, I received an email from them, and it was a survey that was taken in the United States by an individual by the name of George Barnett. And what he writes in this survey, the state of the church, the state of the church. And he conducted a survey of self-pronounced people who called themselves Christians. And here's what he found out about their knowledge about the Word of God. 48% of them could not name 4 Gospels. 52% could not identify 2 or 3 of Jesus' disciples. 60% could not name 5 of the 10 Commandments. These are self-professed Christians. 61% think that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Dr. Billy Graham. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? A religious leader that recently visited America made a statement. He said that you can go to heaven without knowing God. When the Bible clearly states, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. But here these statements are being made by so-called leaders. The commander in chief of this great nation we call America made this statement. He said, America is no longer a Christian nation.
That's right.
Says who?
Yeah.
When this nation that was founded by our forefathers, men who pledged their allegiance to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, these men who wrote our Bill of Rights, they wrote our Constitution, they wrote our Independence of Declaration. Did you know that 56, half of these men who either framed or signed these documents had Bible doctrines, who attended seminary and graduated? These are the men that instilled the laws of this land. That's why we call them our founding fathers, whose principles was based on godly values and godly principles. That foundation. Interesting. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or some spiritual giant to discern the signs of the times that we live in right now. The foundations of our moral values, integrity, honor, respect, God, Christmas, are all being chipped away and decaying. Now understand that the writer of this psalm is not writing this psalm in fear or despair. He's not writing this psalm with his knees knocking. Oh my God, the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? He's not writing in that spirit. But how he's writing it is in the regard of a question by which only the reader who reads it can accurately answer for himself. Just like when Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith here in this earth? I cannot answer that for you. You cannot answer that for me. You have to answer it for yourself. If the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? You have to answer that for your own self. It's a question just to you. And just like this, the psalmist is writing, if this foundation, which we see it physically, is decaying, what can the righteous do? So let me ask you a question. How is your foundation? How is your spiritual foundation? Your faith in God, your beliefs in God, your relationship with God, your identity in God, your purpose in God, your calling in God, your passion in God, your desire, your life in God. These are all foundations, principles that solidify your foundation of what you believe. How is your foundation? The foundation is the basis of a groundwork which is able to support a structure such as this building. You have the walls, you have the roof. But it's interesting, the very strength of this building is the very part of the building you cannot see, which is the foundation. The men in the correctional facility, I tell them, how many of you are saved? The hands raise up. The second question I ask them, how do you know you're saved? And you hear all these different questions, answers. Well, because I'm walking according to his word. Well, I'm serving Jesus. All of these different answers. But how do you know that you're saved? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. The basis of why you're saved is because the word of God says, I'm saved.
That's right.
Billy Graham said, I don't believe in angels because I see them on TV and movies and whatever. Well, somebody told me, the reason why I believe in angels is because the Bible says there's angels.
Yes.
This word says,
that's right,
there's angels. Amen. This word says I'm saved.
Amen.
That's foundation. Because you know that you know. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Therefore, the Son of God has set you free. You are free indeed. How is your foundation? Interesting, because Jesus, he gives us an illustration, an illustrated sermon in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You can turn there. And he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and obeys them or does them, I liken that person, a wise man who built his house on the rock. Anyone want to be wise? Turn to the person next to you. Hey, wise guy. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be a servant. You want to be wise in the kingdom of God? Build your house on the rock. How do you do that? By hearing what he says and by doing what he says. Jesus says, you're just like one wise guy. One wise man who builds his house on the rock. When you hear what I say and you do what I say.
Amen.
Yeah? It's the hearing and the doing.
Yes. Amen.
So now, Jesus says, you're just like a wise man. Now, one day, you know, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And he tells his disciples, hey, guys, when you guys are out in the marketplace, when you guys are at your social events, when you guys are at your family reunions, when you guys are at your workplace, who do men say that I am? And Peter says, you know, Jesus, you know, they're saying that you are Isaiah. Some say you're Jeremiah. And some say that you are a prophet. So it's clear that all these people that they're associated with don't even have a clue of who Jesus is. They have assumptions. But they're all wrong. In fact, when Pontius Pilate sent Jesus back to King Herod to be tried under Jewish laws, King Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist being reincarnated. So he wanted to see all the miracles. He didn't even have a clue who Jesus was. He thought he was John the Baptist. So Jesus says, okay, all these guys are saying this is who I am. And then he turns around to them, these men that he had a relationship with, these men that he lived with, the 3 years that he walked, 3.5 years that he walked on this earth. And he says, now who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And all of them, Peter had this revelation from God. He had this clear vision from God. by his Spirit. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. He had a revelation. A revelation is a comprehension imparted into your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Imparted by the Holy Ghost to where you have this clear understanding of who Christ is. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of living God. Now, when you look at a rock, picture a big boulder right here. Yeah, Jesus says, "You, if you hear my sayings and do what I say, you shall be like a wise man who built his house on a rock." Now, if there was a big boulder right here, what are some of the characteristics of this boulder would be? Strong, solid. Unmovable, unbreakable. Yeah? Solid. Now picture that. All those things that you heard. If you hear his word and do his word, you'll be solid. You'll be unbreakable. You'll be immovable, unstoppable. Just like how you built your house on a rock. The revelation that Jesus is the Christ. James tells us in 1:22, he says, if you are only a hearer and not a doer, you deceive yourself. It's incomplete just to hear. If you are a hearer only, you deceive yourself. Because the one who, you're like a man who goes by the window, the mirror, looks at himself, examines himself, and then he walks away and completely forgets how he looks like. Now, if your picture showed up in the Maui News, your own picture, would you recognize yourself? Huh? Would you recognize yourself? Some of us, you know, there's the main picture, and then we're way out on the outskirts. Oh, there, that's me, way over there. You know, the picture can't catch me, but I can see me right over here. Now, bring that to the Word. You know, what the Word of God is saying. That if you only hear and you don't do, you forget how you look like. If God says you are able to do exceedingly, and you walk away and you go, man, I don't know how I'm going to do it. You just forgot how you look like. If God said you, he would supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, and you walk away and says, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. You just forgot how you look like. Your church time, the times that you sit right here in church service is great, receiving the word of faith. Your personal devotional time, your times of worship with God, those are all important. Your prayer time, your worship, church time sitting in here. The way that you can measure the effectiveness of this word is by how much it is affecting your life, changing and transforming your life. If you are the same place you are a week ago, I was one of those 20 years ago, let's do a week, and you're still the same. That we're not doing it. Paul tells us we have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof to bring change and transformation. This word, the glory, the presence of God, has the capability and ability to change us more into the likeness of Him. Yeah. See, Jesus didn't come just to rehabilitate man. He came to change and transform man.
That's right.
Yeah. The Word of God will renew our minds, but His Word has to be retained in our hearts. It has to. The Word of God has the power to renew our minds, but it also has the power to be retained in our hearts, to where David was able to say, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." See, if I have the word hidden in my heart, then I don't have to be always worried about, oh, I cannot do this and I cannot do that. Because if the word of God is retained in my heart, I'm living a life of right standing with Him. So I'm more concerned about what He did than what I done. Yeah. And it has the power to renew my mind, to affect my life, everything about us, transform my walk, my desires, my passion, my will, how I see myself in Him. See, change doesn't just happen. We have our part. I hear and I do. I have corresponding action. I obey, I practice. And in that doing practice, then I see the manifestation and the demonstration of what God said I can have.
Yeah.
For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because we know that God is a God of faith. But notice that my belief, I must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
So the essence of my foundation, I must believe that He is God.
That's right.
He is the Son of the living God. He is Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
And through that belief, I can launch my faith according to what He said.
Yes.
And He's obligated to bring it to pass. Amen. All I got to do is walk in direction and do it. When we build our lives upon the solid rock, and the Lord Himself is our foundation, it's not if the storms come, it's when the storms come. Storms will come. Storms does not discriminate of who you are. He comes to all of us. But how many of you know it's how we respond in the midst of the storms, in the midst of issues of life? Yeah? You know, one day I was watching news, and man, I was just getting frustrated from what I was hearing. I was just getting, you know. And you know, I walked away, and I said, "God, I'm so fed up with that." He said, "Good, now get fed on me now. Feed on me instead of feeding on that."
Hallelujah.
I says, "That's right, Lord. You're right. I'm wrong. You know? I got to feed on you. Never mind about that, those things that are occurring in our world, this world. But as long as I'm focused on you, that you are my foundation. The storms of life will come, but we'll be able to stand in full confidence and full assurance. And when the dust settles, you'll be standing and glorifying God. When statements are being made opposing your beliefs, you can stand and say, you know what, God? I believe you more than that.
Amen.
Because why? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall not pass away.
Amen.
Men come and go, but Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has redeemed us from our past. He has kept us in the present, and he has secured us in his future.
Amen.
As our life is on the foundation of who he is. You see, what Jesus taught and what he did are tied inseparably to who he is. What he taught, and what he did is tied in separately to who he is. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. John, in the Gospel of John, shows Jesus in his gospel that Jesus was fully man and fully God. Jesus the man, Christ the God. Right? John reveals Jesus as God. Yeah? Matthew reveals Jesus as king. Mark reveals Jesus as the servant. Luke reveals Jesus as the man. But John reveals Jesus as God and man. All man and all God. Fully God, fully man. Jesus the man, the Christ, the Lord. He lived fully as a man, but he never ceased to be eternal as God because he always existed. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the beginning was, and all things were made through him. He existed always. He always existed. The eternal creator, the sustainer of all things, the source of eternal life. Now, I make this statement in the basis of your foundation as a believer in Christ, of the kingdom of God. Understand that God's throne is eternal, it is established, it is everlasting, and it is secure.
Amen.
So knowing that his throne, our God, is eternal, everlasting, established, and secure, we are secure, established, everlasting,
Amen.
And eternal.
Amen.
On that foundation, this is the truth about Jesus the Christ, the foundation of all truth. If we cannot or don't believe this basis of truth, we will not have faith to trust in our eternal destiny with him. See, the Word of God was written by holy men who were inspired by God as they wrote verbatim God's Word. And his Word was to inspire, to build faith, to build confidence in Jesus Christ, so that all believers believe that he was, he is, and ever will be Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
John G. Legge wrote a consecrated prayer. I read it many years ago in his biography, in one of his books. And he makes this declaration. He says, Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to teach me whose I am. Mine to show me whence I came. This Bible, this word, teaches you who you are.
That's right.
Amen. Who are you in Christ? It teaches you whence you came. Jesus says, I'm from above. So if he's from above, I think I'm from above too.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
For as he is, so are we in this world.
Right.
Who are you? A few months ago, the Lord began to inspire within my heart. This is just for me. He said, I want you to declare that you are a son of God. Which we are. We are heirs and joint heirs in Christ. Yeah? For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. Son does not have to do with gender, but it has to be with offsprings. We are children of God. So I don't feel bad calling me a son of God. I watch this program. This one individual has his name, and on the bottom, appointed son of God. I says, hey, too late. I'm one too. We're all sons of God.
Amen.
And on that foundation, that he is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. He is God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. That we are his children, his people, his sons. And that we are to manifest and demonstrate his glory and his power here on this earth.
Amen.
Through our lives. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that lives and abides in and through us. That the kingdom of God has access here on this earth. Because we make ourselves available to allow heaven to have access to your life here on this earth.
Yes, amen.
I have access to heaven, and heaven has access on this earth.
Amen.
Through each and every one of us.
Yes.
So wherever you go, whoever you speak to, guess what? The kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
Why? Because you're there.
That's right.
Where you are, the king is. But he's there for a purpose, for a reason.
Yes.
To reveal himself, to manifest himself,
yes.
To demonstrate himself through you. Let me do this real quick. Songwriter Edward Mote writes, this song was written in the 1700s. He writes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other else is sinking sand. All other else is sinking sand. In verse 3 he says, when every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other else is sinking sand. All other else is sinking sand. Look around. Things are sinking. But praise God. When your feet is planted on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the revelation that Peter had, we need a fresh revelation of who the Son of God is in our lives. Amen. Yes, he's your healer. Yes, he's your deliverer. Yes, he's your provider. Yes, he's your peace. Yes, he's the balm of Gilead. Yes, he's your righteousness. Yes, he is. But what brought you to him in the first place? When I bowed my knees to him, when the minister gave the altar call and I came to the front, my wife and I came to the front, we were way in the back of the church, and I have no clue how I got up in the front. But I was just in tears, you know. But what I did was I surrendered my life to Jesus,
Amen.
The Son of God. And we give our hearts to him. And says, Lord, live in our lives. We commit our lives. We receive you as our Lord and Savior.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Revelation of Jesus the Christ.